Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to July 27th, 2021. The wheels are coming off. Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, or maybe even converting your IRA and 401k, talk to our sponsor, Tony Arterburn, over at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morrison.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a prodigy!
Swangles and Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody feeling out there today? Hopefully you're listening to this while you're doing something productive. Maybe you're at the gym, you're getting some work done around the house, or, you know, you're just bullshitting. That's fine, too. However you choose to consume this is okay with us. This show is available as an RSS feed, and the interview portions are also available in video format on Rockfin and Odyssey and David Icke's video platform, Iconic, and, well, YouTube in theory, but, you know, I got a warning for my David Icke video, which is kind of a badge of honor. I got my first strike for Joel Hirshhorn, which is kind of funny because, you know, I wouldn't have put him up on the top of the heap as far as names that would get me a strike. David Icke, for sure. Absolutely. I knew going into that I was going to get something, but I don't really care. Joel Hirshhorn, nice 80-year-old guy who wrote a book about COVID, been working in the medical industry for four decades, talking to me about COVID and things like that. Yeah, that got me a strike. And then Matt Landman, director of Frankenskies, he's the owner of Sparrow Protective Clothing. He's a good dude, man. And we were literally talking about the weather, and YouTube gave me a strike for violence, which, you know, is about all you need to know about YouTube. So wherever you choose to listen, I don't care. Just thank you for doing so. If you are so inclined and you're listening on a podcast platform that gives you the ability to rate the show, feel free to rate the show if you'd like. And I would say probably the most important thing you can do would be to share it with your friends and family. It's the reason why we're able to grow, and the show has been growing, and I'm so grateful. It doesn't happen without you. Otherwise, I'm just a lunatic talking to myself in a room, and not talking to all of the great people out there. I sometimes feel like I'm a lunatic in a room talking to myself, though. I'm maybe two steps away from being put in a padded cell after the last 18 months that we've gone through. But hey, I know I'm not alone. You're all probably feeling a little bit crazy. Thank you so much, by the way. Speaking of the last 18 months in this show, thanks to our sponsors. My Patriot Supply has been great. you don't even, there's no, I mean, I could read like the ad copy for My Patriot Supply and tell you all the reasons why you need to get prepared. I don't need to do that. If there's some explanation that is necessary before you decide, you know, I think maybe I should get prepared. I don't know what else to tell you. We've lived through the last year and a half of, in America at least, getting like a very mild dose of what insanity can really look like. And if you are not planning ahead because of what you've seen over the last year and a half, then either you're already prepared or you're going into this like zombie apocalypse style with like a sawed off shotgun and a bunch of shells and you're just going out firing, which I totally respect too. I've got no problem. But if you are in the business of trying to get yourself prepared, I would suggest go to the website that they made for us, preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can find all kinds of things there. You can get, you can get a 4-week supply of emergency food. You can get a 3-month supply. You're going to get all kinds of great food. It's one of these situations where you'll also get zero credit for this until something bad goes down. And then you'll get all the credit for being the person that was planning ahead. So you're not going to get a gold star from your wife or husband or anything for going out and getting this stuff. You might get dirty. You might get strange looks. Like, what are you doing? Everything's going to be fine. But I'll tell you, when the lights go off, you're going to be like, oh shit, look who prepared. Look who prepared with macroaggressions.com. If you're not inclined to go through My Patriot Supply, there's other options out there too. Just prepare. Just start thinking about that. And I think it's a wise thing to do. And of course, thanks to Tim James over at Chemical Free Body. They've been phenomenal for us. His Total Energy and Detox Bundle did a number on me, man. It leaned me out good just in time for summer too. So if you are interested in taking a look at what he did to me, you can go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and watch a couple minute video that I did, because I just had to show you. I didn't think that you would believe it if I just told you. So you can go take a look there. You're going to get 2 containers of Green 85. You're going to get some capsules. You're going to get gut detox and toxin detox and probiotics and ultra enzymes. And I'm telling you, it's like 5 minutes in the morning. That's the extent of this routine. However long it takes you to like grab a handful of pills, put them in your mouth, swallow them with water, and then drink a glass of Green 85. That's all you have to do. That's seriously it. Like, if you can't incorporate that into your busy schedule, then you must be running a Fortune 500 company then, because your schedule is clearly very busy and you need a personal assistant or something. Or you might just drop dead from a heart attack from all the stress. So either way, you need to get yourself prepared. So go to chemicalfreebody.com. Use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money, and you will also be supporting a small business in the process that shares similar beliefs as do the rest of us here. So always a good thing. And you know, over the last, speaking of the last year and a half, as we often do here, it's become quite a topic. I feel like this might be a bit of a unconventional thought, but I feel like things might be getting a little bit better. I know you're not used to hearing that from, especially from me, that things are getting better. I try not to be the doom and gloom guy, but shit, I have to call it like I see it. And I have been seeing a lot of doom and a whole lot of gloom, but lately I feel like the response from the narrative drivers, the media, the government, pharma, big tech, their response lately to the, let's just call it vaccine hesitancy problem. I don't consider it to be a problem. They consider it to be a problem. That's why I'm using that term. But their reaction to the problem has been nothing short of embarrassing and cartoonish and comical and kind of pathetic. And of course, I love all this. And I'm talking about their push to get everybody vaccinated. Now, people are kind of, you know, analyzing the pros and the cons and checking into the science and what do I need, you know, and how old am I? And am I in this? Where do I fall in this category of people that are affected? And, blah, 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 you know, all these things that you, all these variables, all of these questions that you have, and you're going to take a look at this. If you're a thinking person, you're going to examine all the evidence. You're going to try and organize it in a way that makes sense to your little brain. And you're going to go, okay, well, based on everything that I have accumulated, which may not be every bit of evidence, but it's as much evidence as I could get my hands on, the decision I am going to make is whatever. Right. I have one more piece of information I would like for you to incorporate into your thought process. And it's COVID specific, but I would suggest that it is not limited to COVID, but in this particular case, that's what we're talking about. Think about this. If you're in America, I will use this as the example because I am in America. I do realize this is an international show. Thank you all for listening in whatever country you are listening in. You're probably going to feel the same way that I do. I just happen to be using America as the template for this, but insert your country at will. Your country, America, spends a disproportionate amount of time trying to figure out ways to really fuck you over. You know, they do. They want to tax you as much as they can. They are looking for ways to try and convince you to join their military so that they can send you overseas to kill people that you don't have a problem with and that didn't have a problem with you until you showed up trying to kill them. And so now they're shooting at you. The government is filled to the top with the most defective human beings you could find. And they're the people that are in charge of this whole mess, which is never sets anybody's mind at ease. And their whole reason for existence in the government really is to tell everybody else what to do, which might be sort of okay if the people telling you what to do were the best and the brightest. I still wouldn't love someone running around telling me what to do. But if it was at least coming from somebody that I perceive to be my superior, be that intellectually or academically, however you want to define that, I might be willing to listen to them. If they were in a position of power and I deemed that power to be a respectable position, I deemed that they were put there because they were the best at their job and that's why they're there and they're telling me what to do. Okay, I can get on board with that to an extent. But that's not how government works. We understand that government is made up of some of the worst people. Not all of them, of course. To be fair, not everybody that works in government is the worst person you've ever met. But the worst person you've ever met probably wants to be in government. And the reason for that is because it offers them all of the things that defective human beings want. It's like a buffet of vices areas of control and influence, whatever your thing is that's luring you into positions of power, government's got it for you. If you want money, they've got all the money in the world, literally all the money in the world. They can just print it. If you want power, they've got power. And it comes in all different types of flavors that you want. If you want to feel important and be thought of as a thought leader, you've got a huge ego and you want to feel important. You don't even really care about the money so much. You just want people to call you sir. You go into government. You know, oh, I wear a fancy suit. I have to go through 6 metal detectors before I can get into my office because I'm so important that all these people might want to blow me up. So, you know, if you're a pedophile and you want access to kids, you can get into politics. You know, there's a lot of that. You can get into the Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts made the news this week. Did you see that? Speaking of organizations run by defective human beings, Boy Scouts just settled 60,000 lawsuits for $1 billion, 60,000 cases, I should say, of sexual abuse. Catholic Church is jealous. Holy shit. Somebody got fired at the Vatican. How come we are the only number two? So whatever you want, government's got it, right? If you're somebody that is looking for power and influence and all that stuff, government's got it. But it is run by some really defective people. That is, I think, maybe a bit of an understatement. But these people in positions of power inside the government, they're not very creative. I think we've come to understand that. They are robots. I don't care for politicians, but if you've put yourself in their shoes, their clown shoes, you would understand that they're getting it from all angles, right? They've got their voters that want them to do one thing. They've got the people in running big businesses that give them the money that get them elected. They want them to do something totally different. And usually something that contradicts what the people wanted them to do. So, you know, they're in a spot. They're trying to please the people with the money by doing the things that they want. They're trying to please the people that voted for them by doing the things that they want. And these two things are diametrically opposed to one another. Typically, big business isn't looking out for the little person. The little person isn't interested in the things that benefit big business. So there's two different agendas happening. Politicians get in the middle and they try to manage this process. That's the reason why they come across as disingenuous shitheads, is because, well, they are. Because they're trying to play both sides. That's what they do. But they're not very creative. For all their skills at being able to talk out of both sides of their mouth, they can't seem to do much in the way of coming up with new ideas, which is the reason why you start to see all of these state governors and mayors and people like that start to sing the same song from the same song book. We've got to get everybody vaccinated, right? Right. That's their thing. So it's not going well. The numbers are down. Oh no, what do we do? I feel like they got called into a big meeting and some bigwig screamed at them and said, I don't give a fuck if you have to give away lottery tickets. Just get these dummies vaccinated. And then they left that meeting and all promptly announced that they were going to give away lottery tickets for the vaccines. You see what I mean? These people are not out there really thinking this through. So they said, well, they told us, you know, do whatever you need to do. So, you know, give away donuts, give away beer, give away Talladega laps, all that stuff. We've talked about this a couple of times already. But it ain't working. And I think it's important for people to understand that if you are at the point in the operation where I don't know that I would even call this plan B, because I don't think this is the second plan. This might be plan H or something like that. When you get to the point where you're having to give away donuts and vaccine in exchange for vaccines and lottery tickets in exchange for people taking vaccines, you have made a catastrophic error in judgment. You have miscalculated this entire thing. If you're to the point now where you've got to get the people vaccinated and the only reason you can give them is that they can get a lottery ticket, just admit that your rap isn't very good. Like if you were a guy at a bar trying to pick up girls and you were already at the I'll give you a lottery ticket portion of your pickup scenario, it's not going well. She's not going home with you. She's not interested in you. She's anti-vax. Okay. But that's where we are. I see that as a good thing. I see that as a symbol that things are not going smoothly. Let's face it. If everybody was enthusiastically running to be first in line to get the vaccine, lottery tickets would be unnecessary. And yet, here we are, right? You've got several things that have happened that give me a little bit of hope. Not a lot. I'm not to that point yet where I've got a lot of hope. But look, some leaders are speaking out. President of Belarus, Lukashenko, remember that guy? That guy straight up gave up the game. He said that he was approached by the IMF and World Bank, and they offered him $940 million if he would impose lockdowns and curfews, and he said no. Guess who's getting fucked with by NATO? Belarus. I'm sure that's not very shocking. What about President Magufuli of Tanzania? Remember him? He's the guy that tested the goat and fruit for COVID. They came back as positive. And he started speaking out about him. Remember good old President Magufuli? Well, he's dead now, of course. They whacked him. And then they installed a new person who is very close to the United Nations. And guess what? They instituted all the COVID policies that were asked for. Isn't it funny? Isn't that funny how that happens? That's really weird. I wonder what the president of Haiti thought about vaccine. Oh, well, I already knew. And I'm sure you may not have dug into it yet. You may not have even thought to think of, you know, to look into that, but just in case you were wondering, he wasn't really big on vaccines either. And they shot his ass up in his house. I'm not saying that's the only reason why they did it. I'm just saying you got to go. So there are cracks in the official story, and they know it. It's not just us that are they're recognizing this. They witness this. They know that there's vaccine hesitancy. They know that is a undeniable component of this. It's not, and I think maybe vaccine hesitancy is a nice way of putting it. There's a segment of the population that are just never going to take it. It's not so much that we're hesitant, it's that there's no fucking way you're going to inject us with that. Period. So the good news is they feel the need to bribe people. That is a good thing. You know who's not fucking around? India. The people of India. Have you seen the videos of the vaccine van that rolls into town? Oh man, the Indians are the best. I don't know what kind of sticks they're using, but there's a type of stick that must be very popular in India, and it's long and skinny, and it must hurt like a mother if you get hit with it, because these guys are terrified. And so the vaccine guys get out of the little car, and it's Indians with sticks time, and they chase these guys. It's like there's two things that are happening in India. Either the vaccine crew comes in, and they come in like maybe understaffed a little bit, and the guys with sticks come out of the villages and just beat the shit out of them and chase them off. So there's that component. And then there's the vaccine crews that come through these villages in India, and they've got plenty of backup. And when they show up, all the people run into the river or up the hill. They say, oh, we're out of here. And do you know why they do that? I mean, it's not that like India just woke up one day and decided that they're going to be suspicious of these people. The reason why they have a problem with the vaccine guys that show up is because of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and their relationship with Gavi and what Gavi has done to India. That 496,000 children now have a form of polio because they took the oral vaccine that was given out by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And over 75% of polio that is found in the world, yes, it still exists, despite what pro-vaccine people will tell you. But did you know that of that polio that exists in nature still, 75% of the cases of it tie back to it being from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation vaccine. So it's not even so much wild polio as it is lab polio. And they know where it's coming from. It's coming from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Gavi, which is the reason why Gavi was thrown out of India. Now, I've heard they've bribed their way back in. I wouldn't be surprised. But the Indians know that when the vaccine squad shows up, nothing good happens. India also, you know, is pushing ivermectin, and it's working, you know, because it works. Not on every person every single time, but it works enough to be a very reasonable solution for a vaccine. Cases are plummeting, and the World Health Organization is not happy about that. Oh, I'm sorry. You thought I was going to say that the World Health Organization is thrilled that the cases are plummeting? They're not. They're not. No. No, you see, it's backwards world, where everything is the reverse. When you're trying to sell an agenda, when you're trying to create massive fear and panic, you don't want everything to get better. People going, I just can't figure out why hydrochloroquine, ivermectin, and remdesivir and all these alternatives were suppressed by the media and everything. Oh, you don't understand? Let me explain to you why that is. Because those solutions actually fix things, and they can't have that because they're trying to create an agenda here. They're shaping a narrative and trying to sell you. And the narrative is, COVID is here, everybody's going to die unless they get a vaccine. If they don't get a vaccine, they're going to die. If you try to use something else, you're going to die. If you are vaccine hesitant, you're going to die. Anything that challenges that narrative is going to get attacked, which is the reason why social media was kicking people off for talking about hydrochloroquine and ivermectin and remdesivir. And God forbid you have the audacity to talk about taking zinc and vitamin D. They'll ban your video. If you put vitamin D in the subject, I'm hearing that that's getting banned. It's only the vaccines, you know. And so then they took that additional step as well in November of 2020 to change the definition of herd immunity and insert the word vaccination in there. So that when you go to look up what herd immunity is, the only definition you'll find through the World Health Organization and their corrupt partners and at Wikipedia and places like that, the only definition you'll now find involves the word vaccine. So that they'll make you think that this herd immunity that they're talking about only happens when people are vaccinated, and that is not true. It's a fucking lie by people that don't have a problem lying to you. Now, you might think that it's a sacred duty if you're in the healthcare industry to tell the truth and talk about these things. We are talking about life and death. I will assure you of something. They don't share that philosophy. They will lie to you about life-saving treatments and things like that. They will tell you that they are not life-saving. Because the minute you start to figure out that there's other options out there besides the vaccine, then they can't sell this experimental rush-to-market, quote, vaccine. Now, you can look at this however you want. If you want to be a black-pilled conspiracy theorist, sort of like me, you can say that the reason is because they are creating an agenda and they want everybody vaccinated because there's nasty things in the vaccines and they're going to get us. And that's fine. You can go down that path. Let's say you're not quite as black-pilled, you're gray-pilled or something. Then you can look at it this way. They don't want you talking about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and remdesivir and these, I shouldn't say remdesivir. I don't know about that one, but hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for sure. They don't want you discussing that because they're generics and big pharma can't make money. So however you want to come at this, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're only doing this because they want to make money, fine. If you say, well, it's more than just making money, they've got a nasty agenda tied to this, I'm fine with that too. I happen to believe the second one there. But regardless of which option you choose, the facts are they don't want you talking about any sort of alternative treatments. Because if you find out that there's an alternative treatment, there goes their narrative. And it's too important for them to keep this thing going than to have you meddling kids come around there and pull off the mask of Fauci and discover that it's big pharma under there. It's been them the whole time. They would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for these silly conspiracy theorists. You know, I mean, look, there's good news coming out of this, right? Have you seen the back and forth between Rand Paul with Fauci? You know, he proving that Fauci was behind gain of function research at Wuhan, that he was financing it. Rand Paul goes hard after Fauci on this. What happens? Next day, they remove the mask restrictions. That's interesting. Gets grilled by Rand Paul. Just eviscerated. What does he do the next day? Oh, he takes away the mask mandates. That's what a coincidence. Fauci has also admitted that there is no difference between the 6 feet and 3 feet rules. There's no difference. Yeah, we know. The only people that haven't figured this out are the mouth-breathing morons that are sitting in front of their television watching CNN all day long. They're convinced that they're all going to die, but those people are morons. You know, they can't help it. They're capped out in the mental horsepower section. They're doing the best they can. There's no difference between the 6 foot rule and the 3 foot rule. And the reason is because it's all bullshit. Now, if somebody says, like, you don't want somebody with a cold breathing down your neck, of course. So I'm not saying that it's okay to like snuggle up with everybody. But the 6 foot rule is stupid. And I've joked about it in the past that if Fauci came out in his best serious voice, said that everybody needs to get on their hands and knees and crawl into these grocery stores because coronavirus hangs at like the 5 foot level and it's real close to your mouth. And if you're on your hands and knees, you have a better chance of going under it. You and I both know there'd be a line of people at Walmart on their hands and knees to get in. We know this. Not my problem. It's their problem. Fauci's changed his mind on masks I don't know, at least three times that I can count. First, he said zero, don't need to wear one. Then he said wear one. Then he said two. Now he's not sure. Look, this is not the reaction to a directive when the directive is anchored in logic and reality and science. It would be, you have to stay 6 feet apart because here's the science on it, and that's what it is. You don't change it from 6 feet to 3 feet and act like everything's normal, because then, because the next question is, oh, so the virus get half as strong? No. Why? Well, why'd you change your guidance from 6 feet to 3 feet? Well, because, you know, I mean, it seems that it doesn't trap. Just admit it. It's all bullshit. The 3 feet, the 6 feet, it's all fake. What about the masks? Well, the CDC says that it gives you a 1.32% increase in protection. Okay, first of all, I have no idea where they got those numbers from. I don't believe anything the CDC says. But let's just pretend that they magically got this right. So it gives you a 1% better chance. That's the justification you use to go crack skulls, throw people off of airplanes when their 2-year-old isn't wearing their mask properly? What are we doing? What are we doing here? PCR tests, fraud. PCR test and fraud belong in the same sentence always. They set it at, you know, 35 cycles. That was very important to the scam. That was one of the most important factors to the scam, is to set that PCR test, that the number of cycles, higher. Normally you wanted right around 25. They were setting it to 35. And they're saying, look, all these positive results. Well, it doesn't work that way. First of all, Kary Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, who won the Nobel Prize for it, said it's not a diagnostic tool. He hated Fauci too. He said that Fauci was a fraud and a pathological liar, which of course he is. You want to know something that Fauci said? I would assume one of the few times he said that, made a statement that wasn't total bullshit, but it's interesting. This is what he said. If you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication confident is minuscule. It's just dead nucleotides, period. If you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication confident is minuscule. It's just dead nucleotides, period. Really? Okay, so Anthony Fauci is saying that if you set the cycle to 35, it's garbage, you get dead nucleotides, period. And then they set the cycles to 35. Why would you do that? Well, you would do that if you were doing some lying to people. If your story didn't add up, if the way to test it was at 25 cycles, and you knew that if they tested it at 25 cycles, what they were going to find was that there was no massive outbreak. But you need there to be a massive outbreak. And you know, if I set it to 35 cycles, it's going to show a massive outbreak. What do you think is going to happen? And let's remember something. You can assume that Tony Fauci was told in no uncertain terms, make this operation happen or you're dead. I guarantee you he was threatened with his life before this thing started. Tony, we're all counting on you. Oh, and by the way, if you fuck it up, you're dead. He's fucked it up. they cannot be happy with Tony Fauci's performance in this whole thing. He's been exposed as a liar. Can't keep his story straight. Can't handle any sort of pushback in interviews from people that have real questions. You know, like, I don't know if you saw that Mexican comedian that interviewed him and just destroyed him. Fauci can only handle softball interviews from assholes like George Stephanopoulos and guys like that. Oh, Dr. Fauci, so good to see you. What brand of shoes are you wearing? The fine hair. Well, who cuts your hair, fine sir? Why are the cycles set at 35, you fucking asshole? When you said that it would be garbage, and then you told them to set it at that same rate. So, but we've got an operation to run. These vaccines aren't going to sell themselves, especially after you have four British Airways pilots die in 1 week. At a company where the vaccine is mandatory. Oops. At this rate, no one will be around to fly your stupid planes. Maybe Ted Stryker will be on there. Just want you to know we're all counting on you, Ted. But but the wheels are falling off. They're falling off this narrative. We've seen it recently in what I think can best be described as the most blatant, obvious, and embarrassing money grab I think I have seen in quite some time. And that is rapper Juvenile refreshing his 1999 song, Back That Ass Up, to change it to Vax That Thang Up. Oh. I bet Suge Knight is really pissed he's in prison. He probably feels like he could have capitalized on this somehow. I know you can't stand it. No holding hands, chick. But when we get the shot, we gonna be romantic. Girl, you can be the queen at the quarantine. We could meet up at that spot and we could do the thing. Holy shit. That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. Hey, congratulations, Juvenile. You're BZ from the SPARS pandemic document. Remember that dude? We talked about him. I thought it was Run DMC for putting out that embarrassing, another embarrassing cartoon video where they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yo, we getting our vaccines on. You know, like that real fucking insulting way of talking to black people. Like assuming that they're stupid and talking to them with like, yo, yo, yo. Holy crap, man. That's pretty condescending. I think if I were in the black community, I would be completely and utterly offended by this. Shit, the only way you think you can talk to me is through rap videos? Who do you think we are? A bunch of dummies? Black community, they ain't dummies. Not when it comes to the vaccine stuff. They know exactly what's going on. They know about Tuskegee. They have read the documents about Tuskegee. They're suspicious. Should be. Not Juvenile, though. He just said, he didn't say back that asset. He said back that Brinks truck up, bitch, and give me that money. Sir, we'd like to talk to you about maybe helping us, you know, slang some of those vaccines, if you know what I'm talking about. Yes, I'll do it. Uh-huh, I'll do it. How much you're going to... Uh-huh, I'll do it. But that is a sign. I'm obviously goofing on it, but that is a sign that things are not going well. When things are going well, you don't bring Juvenile out of retirement. By the way, let's be honest. He ain't Juvenile anymore. The song was over 20 years ago. They went through it and they're like, what do black people like? Black people like rap, right? Well, let's have some rappers come out and talk to them about getting vaccinated. I mean, you can just see all the white devils sitting around this boardroom at like Pfizer, you know? Maybe we should partner with KFC. We can tell them to get their chicken on. Whoa, whoa. Easy there, Carl. We don't want to get... It's not June 9th. It's not Juneteenth. We don't want to get in trouble. Let's just start with backing their vax up. It's fucking embarrassing. I don't know what to tell you. To the black community, as one white guy, I apologize for my people. They're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They are so condescending to your people. They think that you're all dumb. They do. They think that you're all stupid and that the only way that they can reach you is through rap videos. I don't know what to say. Don't take the vaccine and then, well, and then you'll be on top, I guess. I mean, once everybody depopulates themselves, we're going to have a shuffling of the deck, so to speak, when it comes to like who's in charge of things. But don't worry, everybody. Help is on its way. Joe Biden has announced that he will be sending people door to door to explain the vaccine situation. No, thank you. I got the pamphlet. Wouldn't it be, you know what would be really fucking funny? Is if Joe Biden's like, let's partner with the Mormons. They've already got this pathway to the front door, right? They've got bicycles, they've got backpacks, they've got short sleeve white shirts, they've got little name tags. Maybe if we could get the Mormons to help us with the vaccine thing, we might be onto something here. Then Jen Psaki's like, it's not Mormons, it's Utahans. I used to work with a guy, on a side note, just because I have to mention this, it's kind of funny. I used to work with a guy who was Mormon and went on his Mormon mission to Puerto Rico. And he's like, yeah, he was like, he was the dorkiest white guy you've ever seen in your life. And he was like, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, the strangest things happened to me when I was in Puerto Rico. He's like, on two different occasions, I accidentally got hit by a car on my bike and got pushed down a hill. I was like, it ain't an accident, buddy. I hate to break it to you, pal. Oh, it happened twice, you say? You don't, imagine my surprise. But don't worry, Jen Psaki has come out and said, the federal government does not have a database of who has been vaccinated. That is not our role. You know, when I hear the likes of, what is she? How would we describe Jen Psaki? Would we call her an android or a bot? I don't know. She doesn't look human to me. But when she says, when she came out and when she said the federal government does not have a database of who has been vaccinated, that is not our role. All that was going through my head was never believe anything until it's officially been denied by the government. You know what I mean? That's what it's like. The federal government does not have a database of who's been vaccinated. That is not our role. In my head, I hear the federal government definitely has a database of who has been vaccinated, and that is our role. That's what I hear. Perhaps I'm coming at this the wrong way. I don't think I am. But look, door-to-door vaccination has already faced major pushback from some states. I mean, there's like mayors and governors and people standing up and going, no, we're not doing this. Sorry. The Biden administration can talk about this, but we're not going to be implementing this. Look, it's a slippery slope. Hi, we're here from Health and Human Services. Have you considered taking Dr. Fauci as your Lord and Savior? Get the fuck off my porch. You know, I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that there's going to be some violence. If you start showing up at people's houses, and then I saw this document that has been circling around too, where to be clear, can't verify the authenticity of it, but it did look like a regular old document that the government would send out. But one of the parts that was circled was like this part where it said, if you see no solicitation signs, it was like, just go around them. Don't worry about it. After all, you're not selling them something. You're just going there to give them information. It's like, that's a good way to get yourself shot, by the way. Have you seen the Wild Whites of West Virginia? I mean, have you? Are you really going to try and go up there and talk to them about vaccinations? Good luck. How about that Judge Fry, who is telling people that he would give them probation if they took the COVID jab? Or he was going to throw the book at them. This poor guy is like up on like drug and gun charges. He was like, man, that judge was like going to give me five. He's going to give me 5 years if I don't get the shot, and I don't want the shot. And that's a fucking violation of somebody's civil rights. Am I right? I'm right. Right? It seems like it has to be. I'm not a lawyer. But look, I think there's something that we need to get pretty clear on. Not just us listening to this, but the government. We need to have like a nationwide meeting just to reiterate this one point. It is not the government's job to stop or protect us from COVID. Can we just remember that? They have no mandate for this. It's literally not their job to protect us from catching a virus. It's not their job. The government does have some jobs. There are some things that it needs to do. Preventing you and me from catching a cold is not one of them. It's just not. It's not going to happen. It's not their job to make it not happen. Yeah, I mean, it's we've lost sight of that. Somebody has forgotten to ask the question, hey, you guys who are all in charge, who the fuck told you that you're in charge? Why do you think that you're talking about mandatory vaccinations? For what? For, says who? Well, we're from the government. We're here to help. Did we ask you to come in here and help? Did I ask you to come to my house and offer me a vaccine? The fuck out of here. And then Xavier Becerra, that government asshole who says that the government has a right to know about our vaccination status because they spent trillions of dollars to, quote, save us from COVID. Nobody asked you to. But by the way, those trillions of dollars, you just gave it to your buddies on Wall Street and the big corporations, like you always do. You didn't come around and save us from anything. Hey, I put all of the small and medium-sized businesses out of business. Where's my thank you? I came to save you. I saved you. I saved you with my magic vaccine that I rushed to market and didn't test. Well, we did test it on animals. They all died. But don't forget, and don't think about that. You owe me. I need to know what your status is because I saved you. I spent $1 trillion of your money that you didn't ask me to spend, and I didn't spend it wisely, and I gave it to all my friends, and we never really did anything good with it, and all that stuff. But Xavier Becerra thinks that we have to, that the government has the right to know about our vaccination status? No, they don't. They don't. They don't have the right. They might think they have the right, and they might tell you they have the right, but they don't. It's none of their business. The White House spokesperson said, door knockers will merely present people with details on vaccines, but will not try to compel them to get a shot. You know what they're going to be doing? Trying to compel them to get a shot. You see, it's very easy. You just run this through the translation simulator. When you take White House talking points, you run it through the translation simulator, and what comes out the backside of it is the exact opposite of everything they say. But this is a good sign. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is a good sign. This is what you see as the wheels are coming off the narrative. If things were going really well, You wouldn't do things like banning Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of mRNA, from LinkedIn because he had the audacity to question what the mRNA technology was being really used for. But you do those things when you're having a hard time controlling the message. And the people that are pushing this narrative are most definitely having a hard time controlling the message. And the reason for that is that the message doesn't make sense. It's simple. If you have a clear, concise, logical message that is anchored in reality, people will understand it. When you have bullshit that is pretending to be anchored in reality, you're going to have problems with the messaging. And when you have problems with the messaging, you start looking for who's creating these problems. And then you go around and you start shutting them down. That guy's talking, that person's talking, that lady's talking, that doctor said too much. This Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of mRNA, is now talking out. He's going on Brett Weinstein's program. He's talking. We got to shut him up. So we're going to ban him. We just delete his profile at LinkedIn. Who's the CEO and founder of LinkedIn? Reid Hoffman, managing partner of Greylock Ventures, venture capital firm. What else is Reid Hoffman into? Oh, well, he just happens to be a high-ranking board member at the World Economic Forum. What a surprise. The guy on the board of the World Economic Forum, who owns a company called LinkedIn, silenced the inventor of the mRNA technology because that inventor was openly questioning what it was being used for, the ways in which it was being used. And then magically, he disappears from LinkedIn. I'm sure that's just a huge coincidence, though. Just one of those things that slip through the cracks, you know? Or what could have happened is that one of Dr. Robert Malone's Facebook friends got a message saying, you may know an extremist, and if you do, you know, send us a little message and let us know which one of your friends is showing extremist tendencies. I'm not sure exactly how they phrased it, but let's just call it extremist tendencies. We have ways to deal with them. And one of the ways they have to deal with them is to turn the public into rats, to hysterically call the authorities when their friends are doing something that goes against the new dictates, like having too many people over for Thanksgiving or, you know, things like that. But, and when the narrative is falling apart, you say things like if you're Dr. Fauci, you say things like, if you're against me, then you're against science. Really? So Dr. Fauci equals science now. That's not how it works. First of all, your science is garbage. You know it. Dr. Judy Mikovits knows it. You know, the people that are close, Dr. Carrie Mullis knew it. The people that are close. Oh, by the way, if you want to get a great Fauci shirt, I got to plug my friends over at Truthzilla. Truthzilla has a Fauci shirt that it's a big picture of his face, and it says, Fauci gave everybody AIDS. It's great. If you don't know about his role in the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, well, the gay community never forgot. They certainly have a problem with him, rightfully so. But we're seeing the wheels fall off of the narrative. We're seeing them overplay their hand. We're seeing them do things in such a haphazard and not very well thought out manner that it is, it's exposing them. It's blowing up in their faces. You know, they had all of 2020 to get people, get students, you know, thinking about school in a different way and traumatizing them and getting them into this, you know, online curriculums and things like that, you know, because the schools in the United States are just a disaster. And you know what wound up happening is that homeschooling exploded, and not just for last year, because obviously a lot of people were forced to homeschool, but moving forward, people have gone, it's become a real option for people. And in California, the year before COVID, they had what's called private school affidavits, PSAs. There were 14,548 of these in California. It's like basically like starting your own little like homeschooling. 14,500. You know how many they had last year? Now they're at 34,715. So they've gained 20,000. They've more than doubled just in the last year. People are waking up to the agendas. Schools are pushing agendas. And that is pushing people to take their kids out of school. Remote learning helped to... What remote learning did? It helped to normalize not learning at school. It helped to normalize learning at home. And that actually wound up playing into the hands of the people that are homeschoolers or that wanted to be homeschooling because they got a taste of it. They had their kids home for a little bit. They had them home and learning on a computer. It changed the relationship that the children had with education. It wasn't, oh, I can only be learning when I'm in this classroom with 25 other kids. It taught them that, hey, education comes in all shapes and sizes. And sometimes you can learn something by watching a video, or you can do an interactive game on your computer, or you can do something from a workbook at home. You don't have to have a teacher sitting there telling you exactly how to do it. So let's take this as good news. We're criticized for being black-pilled on all this stuff and not seeing the good in things and only seeing the downside. And I think to an extent, I think that criticism is probably accurate of most of us. It's certainly accurate of me. I can find the problems in these things, but can we find the bright side? And I say, yeah, I think we can. These are a list of things that they've been doing that are not going well. When you have to incentivize people with donuts, or you have to or judges have to tell people if you don't take the vaccine, I'm going to give you more years added onto you. This is not healthy. This is not what you do when things are going well. This is what you do when the wheels have come off. You send people door to door and then deny that you're going to be doing it, or say, oh, well, it's not going to be really door to door. It's more like we're just going to be handing out pamphlets. No, you hand out pamphlets when things aren't going well. Just ask the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm kidding. I'm sure they're fine people. If you like this show, please take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and families. You can share it with the Jehovah's Witnesses too. You probably can't share it with the Amish. That's the downside. And fuck the Amish, man. I tell you, they're looking smarter by the day, aren't they? With their weird haircuts and their funny clothes. I'll tell you, you Amish are doing it right. Not that you'll ever hear this podcast, you technology fearful weirdos. take the additional step of sharing this episode that will more than likely be my last one before as I get kicked off of here with your friends and family. If you're interested in connecting with me to tell me what a horrible person I am, that can be done at the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.